So everything
in the book that has anything to do with correction, I'm on top of it right now. Because I got some things that need to be corrected in my life right now.
Me too.
And I have long since learned in 25 years of studying this book that I just need to just go ahead and do what the book says, because I'm going to end up doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So to save myself some time. You know, like I always end up going, you mean I could have done this just like this in the first place and got the result? Yeah. That's okay. You're innocent. Now, a magic thought is any thought, the Course says, that basically is not based on love. It's a thought that looks like it has some real power, but if it doesn't have any love in it, it doesn't have any real power. You with me on that?
Yeah.
And he says, a teacher and a pupil, that's what we are to each other. Okay, so we're each other's teachers and pupils. And he says, if we mishandle this issue of how to deal with ego thought, if we mishandle this issue of how to deal with other people's beliefs and fears and all the stuff you don't agree with, he says, unless you learn how to deal with that, you're going to hurt yourself, and you're going to hurt the other person too in a way. Unless I learn how to deal with what's happening out here, then I'm going to hurt myself. Agree?
Yeah.
Is that the way I thought? Okay, so he says, and when you hurt yourself, he says, that strengthens your fear.
Yeah.
Right? He says, so then that makes what happens seem quite real to both of you. See, when you get hurt, in other words, the purpose of pain is to make you think what's happening to you is real. The purpose of pain is to make you think what's happening to you is real. The purpose of pain is to make you think what's happening to you is real. The purpose of getting hurt, when you feel hurt, you really think it's real. The purpose of pain is to make you really think it's real. Okay, so unless you learn how to deal with the insanity of the people around you, you're going to hurt yourself. That's what this is saying to me, right? And he says, that's going to strengthen your fear. It's going to make it seem quite real to both of them. He says, so how to deal with magic, he says, thus becomes a major lesson for the teacher of God to master. So how to deal with this stuff is one of the major lessons for us to master. How to deal with this? How to deal with what? Deal with this. Y'all know what this is, right?
Life.
Okay, everybody got their this?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, he says that your major lesson to learn is how to deal with it. Then he says your first responsibility in this is not to attack it. So if I attack the illusion, he says, then that is being irresponsible. If I attack your illusion, if I attack your anger, if I attack your false ideas, then he says that is making it real. So the way to give your false idea power is to treat your false idea like it's so real I have to talk you out of it.
Okay.
Good. I was waiting for somebody to say that. You just experienced a Course sentence. It sounded like he said English, but I don't know what the hell he just said. I know I'm not crazy. He just said a bunch of words. I don't know what he just said. You know, that's what caught my attention about this book. Was that I would read something and I didn't know what I had just read, and it was English. Okay. I'll say it again. Your first responsibility is not to attack it. Your first responsibility is not to attack. Okay, you're talking crazy. You think different from me. But my first responsibility is not to attack you. My first responsibility is not to attack you because I disagree with you. My first responsibility is not to attack you because I disagree with you. He says, if a magic thought or some kind of ego thought or some kind of external thought arouses anger in any form, if you're getting angry because of what you're thinking, or if you're getting angry because of what you're seeing, you are strengthening your own belief in sin and have condemned yourself. So you condemn yourself by getting angry at everything you see.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
He says, and when you condemn yourself about everything you see, which is the same as saying you get mad about whatever you see, then he says, you have asked for depression. So where does depression come from? Depression comes from you spending your own belief and self-condemnation through getting angry at everything that happens around you. Depression comes from your strengthening your own belief and self-condemnation by getting angry at everything around you. So he says, and not only did you ask for depression, if you keep on getting upset about this stuff all the time, he says, you also have asked for pain, fear, and disaster. Fear, pain, I love this. I'm scared to say this all at once. Let me just say it. Depression, pain, fear, and disaster. Depression, pain, fear, and disaster. So, you know, it's like, I don't even like to say it. It's like depression, pain, fear, and disaster. Okay, now how does disaster come to me? Well, Earl, the way disaster comes to you is because you are strengthening your own belief in sin and condemning yourself by getting angry about things that are not real. That's a totally different explanation of disaster than I ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. What about y'all?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm depressed. Well, I'm telling you why I'm depressed. I'm depressed right now because I'm strengthening my own belief in sin. Sin, I condemn myself. I'm getting angry at what I'm seeing, which means I'm being irresponsible because my responsibility is not to attack your illusion. My first responsibility is not to attack your illusion. That's deep, isn't it? My first responsibility is not to attack your false ideas. My first responsibility is not to attack your false ideas or to try to establish that your false ideas are false. That's like my first responsibility if I'm being responsible as a spiritually awakened being is that I don't try to change anybody from believing their false ideas. Interesting.
Does that mean you can't reason with them?
Yes.
It's impossible to reason with a completely fearful mind. So the Course in Miracles says that it is a curriculum that someone that's completely insane couldn't do. The Course itself says that.
Yes.
That if you are a person that's totally unreasonable, you won't be able to understand a Course in Miracles at all. So that's why when we've all had that experience of trying to reach somebody when they're so deep into their fear that they're totally unreasonable, and you know, and you've all had the experience of trying to be reasonable with somebody like that, and you couldn't reach them, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, this is a teaching that has absolutely no appeal to someone who's completely in fear and who's completely asleep. So the Course in Miracles does not appeal. It's not for everybody. So. The people that the Course in Miracles is for are the people who want to accept it for themselves. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, but we all have fearful, asleep people in our lives that we have to deal with.
So, okay, how does that relate to what I just said?
We just don't try to reason with them. We just let them be.
No, I was explaining to you what level of consciousness you'd have to be on to be able to understand the Course.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, that's all I was talking about. Okay. Because sometimes I think that people think that the Course is for everybody.
No.
And I'm saying that the Course says the Course is for people who are partially sane.
Yeah, it's about as good as it gets.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. It makes no mistakes and no qualms about that. It says, this book is for those who are partially sane. If you're totally insane, you won't be able to relate to this at all. Okay. All right. Like, for instance, being told that my first responsibility is not to attack your illusion because that's going to arouse anger and it's going to strengthen my belief in it. And so, of course, I'm going to get depressed. And when I get depressed, I'm going to ask for a whole bunch of crap to come into my life out of my depression. So depression is a request for crap. It's a crap prayer. All right. Now, y'all know the rule of the Course in Miracles, the way it comes through me is you don't have to believe it, you don't have to accept it, you don't have to welcome it. Y'all clear on that you don't have to believe nothing I'm saying, okay? And I promise you, no matter how you react to what I say today, I'm still going to see Fantastic Four. Okay, now, you got to go see this movie called Rise. It's at the Mayan. It's about this. That movie blew me out of the friggin' water. It's not often you go to a movie, you go. I was on the edge of my seat like that. because I couldn't even believe what I was looking at. It's about this new dance craze kind of thing that's going on in the inner city of West Coast in the neighborhoods that was bombed out by the riots. It was like the worst neighborhoods in the country. And how these kids that didn't want the pain and the violence created a whole other kind of gang called the Clown Posse. And their purpose is to bring total and complete joy into everybody's life through dance and movement. So they act out everything that they would be doing violently, but they turn it into a dance that they do with each other. And it's and you have never seen people move their bodies the way that they were moving their bodies. It's like, because at the beginning of the film, they said, this film has not been sped up in any way. And I'm like, well, why did they write that? You know, because when you see these people move, you can't believe somebody could move their bodies like that or move their bodies that fast. It was like seeing an evolution of dance. It was like, and that's what they were saying. They were saying we were born with this energy. And they said it's not a fad. So this is energy that we were born with. It was deep. And then, so they got this whole different way of expressing themselves that was awesome. So your first responsibility is not to attack that. See, that's what the Course is saying. My first responsibility is not to attack your point of view because it's different from mine. Because if I do that, I'm going to get depressed. And then that's going to cause some disaster into my life. So why should I use you to make me ask myself for something bad to happen to me? Okay, I know. Take a minute to hear that. I know. It's like, what?
That's Course talking.
Actually, it made so much sense that it takes us a second to realize that we can understand something that makes sense, even without having to interpret it. That if you're hearing something that makes sense, you just get it. You don't have no period where you're trying to figure it out. And so we're going to start having more and more direct communication. It's going to be fun. Okay. So, do you want to have depression, pain, fear, and disaster come to you?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay, then you need to remember that you need to stop teaching it. Because that's not what you want to learn, so stop demonstrating. In other words, if you don't want to learn pain, depression, fear, and disaster, stop demonstrating it. How do I stop demonstrating it? Okay, the way you stop demonstrating it is to stop attacking what other people believe is different from you. If you stop attacking what other people believe is different from you, you will not be depressed and you won't be asking for any more harsh things to happen to you. Because nothing would be upsetting you, so there would be no reason for you to punish yourself.
So what if you're thinking in your mind, but you don't say it?
That's okay, great, great point. Thank you, Emily. It's what you tell yourself behind the words that you say that's teaching you. It's never what you're saying to me, it's what you're telling yourself while you're talking to me that's teaching you. So you could be saying you love me, and then you could be, in my mind could be saying, you dirty dog, I don't really like you at all. Hey, I love you, you're so cool, I can't really stand you. You know how we do that? So it's like, so the Course says, well, it's what you're telling yourself on the inside that's affecting your consciousness, not what you're saying to the person on the outside. So it's really more important what you tell yourself than what you tell somebody else. So the first person you better not lie to is yourself. If you're a crook, admit it to yourself that you're a crook, even if you tell everybody else you're an honest man. Don't lie to yourself. I used to find myself trying to lie to myself. I used to find myself trying to pretend I didn't feel what I felt about myself or about something. I saw myself trying to cover up my own thoughts with me. I wasn't even talking to nobody else. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, really, it's like I'm trying to hide the fact that I'm mad by trying to pretend I'm not with me. That's really crazy. That's when I got scared. That's oh my God, and now I'm hiding from myself. Now I'm really messed up. So it's more important what you tell yourself than what you tell somebody else, because what's going to happen on the outer is going to be a reflection of what you're telling yourself on the inside. Because the Course teaches you always look in before you look out. But you never see anything on the outside that you didn't look on the inside of your mind to see first. So every time you see something, you always see an effect of a decision that you made. But you told yourself to forget the decision that you made, so that it can look like somebody else is doing it to you. And as long as you want somebody else to do it to you, you won't be willing to accept that everything that's happened to you is a result of a decision you've made. As long as you want to keep the things still happening to you, you will not want to admit that you are experiencing it because it is your choice.
What about the cool stuff?
All of it works according to the exact same laws. Anything that I'm saying, you can apply it to the cool stuff or the uncool stuff. How would you apply that to the cool stuff? Well, if I don't attack your cool stuff, then I can feel really good about your cool stuff. You know, because sometimes I have a tendency to want to judge other people's pleasures. As if my pleasures are the standards of all pleasure. Not only that, I'm not particularly happy myself. So at least if I'm supposed to be the standard by which everybody else lives, let me be a good enough example to be happy myself. How would somebody want to be like you and you're miserable? And then you're mad at them because they don't want to be like you. You're showing them they shouldn't be like you because you're being that way. I don't know what the hell I be saying sometimes, but it sure sounds good. I bet you get more, I'm telling you.
It's good.
Is it a cosmic joke? It really truly is. This is like one paragraph. I mean, I got hooked in this book 25 years ago. It just blew me out of the water. And what I want to do is like give you all the benefit of 25 years worth of total obsession. And I'm like, I'm full, I'm about to pop, so I'm going to have to give y'all more of me, okay?
All right.
Is this all right?
Yeah.
I haven't found many people who could take as much as I am already. What about you? Have you run into like a whole gang of people who can take you? I don't like to see. We got hordes of people outside waiting to get to us. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying we bad people, but I just think sometimes we have an overinflated perception of ourselves. Okay. Because one thing I've noticed about people in the get world, and the Course calls this the get world, and people in the get world, they don't have no problem with trying to get.
No, they don't.
I mean, if they want something, they try to get it. So you can always tell if somebody wants you because they'll be trying to get you. Okay, that's how you tell them on. So if they're not trying to get you, they probably don't want you. Okay, that's rule number one in checking out new relationships. Okay? If they're really interested, somehow or another, they're going to communicate to you that they're interested. Some kind of way, they're going to let you know that they have singled you out to make up for their entire past. You're the lucky lottery winner. You get a chance to make up for all the stuff that all men did to me before you. I love you, baby. Okay. And if you make me forget that I created it really, really good, you'll get some great sex tonight. Okay.
You're speaking from experience there.
I am truly speaking from experience. That's what you have to worry about me with the Course in Miracles. Let me tell you, I'm speaking from experience. I love how people go to Course in Miracles groups where nobody in the Course in Miracles groups has read the Course in Miracles. And then they all discuss it. So you got a group of people who don't know what they're talking about telling each other the meaning of it. And then they wonder why they get confused and afraid. Isn't that interesting? Because they set themselves up to lose in the very beginning, but not willing to be not being willing to take advantage of somebody knowing what they're trying to learn. It's wild. That's so funny to me. Okay. I have to stop this for a second. It's very important that I do this. So what's your first responsibility?
To not attack.
What?
Your
different ideas.
False ideas. Your
ideas different from
okay,
yours.
Yes. So not to attack some ideas are different from yours. False ideas. Not to attack somebody else's illusion. Okay. I dedicate this to y'all. Says your love makes my world go round. Do a little meditation.
Okay.
you got to learn how to deal with this crazy stuff that we see, deal with this crazy stuff that you see. And if you mishandle this issue of how to deal with this crazy stuff that you see, we got to learn how to deal with the crazy stuff we see. So your first lesson is not to react to the insanity, not to react to the insanity, not to react to the insanity, not to try to attack what someone else believes if it's different from you. My first responsibility is to let you think differently from me. Say it again. My first responsibility is to let you think differently from me. Y'all got that?
Yeah.
I say what? My first responsibility is to let you think differently from me. It's okay. I'm not going to attack you because you think differently from me. You're not bad because you think differently from me. It's okay. My first responsibility is not to attack your illusion. Not to attack your illusion. All right. Now, I need some motivation. I need some motivation. Well, why should I do this? Well, because if you continue to try to convince everybody around you that they're wrong, you're going to get depressed and then you're going to have some disaster come to you.
Yikes.
Oh, my God, I want to think I can think incorrectly without having to deal with the results of that. I don't like what you just said to me, Earl. I want to be able to think crappy thoughts and not get the crap that comes with the crappy thoughts. And you're telling me that it's going to come to me because of the way that I'm seeing it. And I don't like that at all. Anybody else? Because I know some things come to me that I don't have anything to do with. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few things that come to me I might be willing to admit that, you know. I might have had some remote connection to you. But you're not going to tell me that when I got hit at that high on Christmas Day, I had anything to do with that. I was just an innocent 10-year-old black boy riding a bicycle. And I got ran over. And I certainly didn't have nothing to do with that. It had nothing to do with my consciousness. It had nothing to do with me whatsoever.
That's a tough one, though, you know?
Yep, it is. That's a biggie, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yep. So what we gonna do? You and me got to remember we're not victims and that we're really powerful while we hiding out in your little white woman body and I'm in my little black man body, and we gotta try to remember that even though it looked like we're different, we're really the same, and that I shouldn't attack you for looking like you're different from me and thinking different from me, and you shouldn't attack me for looking like I'm different from you or thinking different from you. That if I have my illusions, let's say I believe in the religion of peaches and pears, and I think that unless you belong to the peaches and pears religion, you have absolutely missed the boat. Then your first responsibility is not to attack my peaches and pears thoughts. So that you won't get depressed, because you'll get depressed trying to change me because you're not. And then you'll be so depressed because you can't change me from my peaches and pears beliefs that you call for fear, pain, and disaster to come to yourself.
Honey, I've been there.
You know what I'm saying? That's what that book just told us.
Yeah.
And he says, well, don't you demonstrate it if you don't want to have it happen to you. So don't you demonstrate it. Don't you walk around always teaching fear, always teaching pain, always teaching disaster. So that's how you say, but don't you do it. You don't want it? Don't you do it. It's like, wow, that's deep. That puts so much responsibility on me changing my own mind, and the irresponsible part of myself doesn't want no part of it.
Earl, if you're trying to give someone a different way of looking at something, is that trying to change their thought?
Yeah. I would say trying to give me an entirely different way of looking at something is trying to change my thought. But actually, well, obviously we're not talking at that level, right? Right? Y'all know we're not talking about the level that if your boss tell you to go type a letter, you know, you go type the letter. We're talking about at the level of creation. We're talking about the level of our highest identity. We're talking about the level that has to do with how much peace or conflict you feel all day long. See, the Course in Miracles is not talking on the level of whether or not you go choose a popsicle or a candy bar. What the Course in Miracles is saying is that it doesn't matter. When you're choosing between two things that are equally unreal, it doesn't matter which one that you choose. Okay? If they're both equally unreal, it doesn't matter what you choose to do in this world. It doesn't matter what you choose to do in this world. It doesn't matter what you choose to do in this world. You just need to realize that whatever you choose to do in this world is just going to be a means for bringing two things to you. Love or fear, truth or illusion. So it doesn't matter what you choose, but what you're going to have happen to you, you don't have the two choices. You're going to either have something happening to you that's making you feel less afraid, or you're going to have something that's happening to you that's making you feel more afraid. And that's what's going to happen with anything you choose in this world, so it really doesn't matter. So it's like we're trying to come up with the best way to deceive ourselves again, and we call it our plans. And the course is saying, no, what you want to really decide on is what is it that you want to come to you through this? That's what you're supposed to be working on. What do I want to come to me through this? And I'm trying to choose which this. It's just like somebody saying, I can give you poison in a glass, or I can give you poison in a bottle, or I can give you poison in a cup. And you're trying to choose whether you want your poison in the bowl or poison in the cup, but as long as you're still taking the poison, you're still killing yourself. So it doesn't matter which thing I choose to give myself what I think I deserve through.
But the kicker is when you choose what you think is love, and then it turns into an unholy, unspecial relationship, and what you get is a boatload of fear.
And isn't it great that we're finally being given a teaching that can teach us how to tell when we're choosing fear beforehand? Because that's what the Course is trying to do. It's trying to teach us how to recognize when we're getting ready to deceive ourselves again and hurt ourselves. That's what the whole book is about. It's like, if you're tired of fooling yourself, read the Course. If you still want to fool yourself, you're going to hate it. Because he says we have some illusions we like and some illusions we don't like. We have some illusions we want to keep and we have some illusions we want to give up. And we don't know, you just can't give up part of it. If you don't give up something that's not real, you have to totally give it up. So I have to realize that the stuff I like, it can deceive me as much as the stuff I don't like. I can use the stuff I like to make me forget who I am, as well as use the stuff that I don't like to make me forget who I am.
Exactly.
So my number one desire has got to be to know who I really am. I want to know who I really am because all my power is in who I really am, because who I really am is all I can be, and who I really am is all I am. Woo! That's deep, man. Let me say a beat or two. Are you ready for the next paragraph?
Yeah.
You ready for the next paragraph? I can always tell when I'm doing good because all my electronic stuff mess up. It's like, you're no good, low down battery. I'd be having a good talk if it wasn't for you. You keeping me from expressing who I am because I need to have a battery before I can really be who I really am. Testing 1, 2. Right? Let me try another one because I got something I want to do. While I'm getting another battery. Anybody else have any other questions or whatever about what I'm talking about?
Yeah, go back to that 10-year-old bicycle accident.
Okay, what about it?
Well, finish the story or tell us more.
Well, what it really boiled down to is that it's really not important for me to accept that I really created being in a bicycle accident. What's really important is that I recognize the course is that I don't know everything. He said, I should be working all day on the idea I don't know everything. So if I was to really get that I don't know everything, that'd be the first step toward me being healed. So I'd like to say to the group, take a breath, okay? And don't get insulted when I say this, okay? Because I'm tending to heal, okay? You don't know everything.
Oh, no.
You don't know everything. 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 You don't know everything.
When you don't even know who you are, you really know you don't know everything.
You don't know. Of course, there's one easy way to tell you don't know everything is that you have doubt. And there's no way you could have doubt if you knew everything.
Self-doubt is the worst.
And so I liked how the course will get you real honest. So I'm going to go deeper because this is too deep for me not to go deeper. Okay. Now, he says, then, however, there is a temptation to respond to this magic, to this stuff out here. I'll make this practical. There's a way to respond to this stuff out here that actually reinforces the illusion. There's a way that we can respond that actually reinforces the problem. The Course says, and it isn't always obvious. It can, in fact, be easily concealed beneath a wish to help. A little bit. He said, wish to help is a double wish. That I wish to help you. He said, this must lead to undesired outcomes. Nor should it be forgotten that the outcome and the result will always come to the teacher and the pupil alike. How many times has it been emphasized that you would give to yourself? And where could you give to yourself be better shown than in the kinds of help that you give to those who need your help? Okay, I'll say it again. You're always giving to yourself. And you can always tell what you're giving to yourself by the kind of help that you're giving to another.
That's deep.
You only give to yourself, but you can tell what you're giving yourself by what you give to another. You can always tell what you're giving to yourself by what you give to another. He says, because what you give to other people who need your aid is your own gift being most clearly given to you. Because the only thing you'll ever give somebody is what you've chosen for yourself. So whatever you give to somebody else is what you've already decided to experience for yourself. So you can always tell what's going to happen to you by what you're giving to others. That's the depressingest thought I've ever heard. Oh, we go. Like, oh, I just look going to shoot myself right now then. You mean what? Because, let's face it, if we thought we were really giving people nothing but cool stuff, we would be ecstatic at that thought. Or we'd be jumping up and down in our chairs. Oh, really? I'm only going to get what I've been giving people? And all I've been giving people is some really great stuff? Man, that's some great news. I'm so happy. I didn't see that. We were like one step from depression. What was it? Don't sound like a person who's like they've been giving up a whole lot of good stuff. Well, they'd be jumping up and down, don't you think?
Yeah.
Don't you think if we really thought we were giving the best that we could give, but we heard a statement like that what's going to happen to us is what we've been given, we'd be happy about that?
Yeah.
You know, would y'all be willing to admit we'd be more thrilled if we thought we'd be giving more quality stuff to people?
Yeah.
Which we know we would give it to them as soon as they gave it to us, wouldn't we? That's the only problem. It's not that I wouldn't be a nice guy, but you just need to show me that you deserve it. I'm not going to give my kindness to somebody who don't deserve it, so you got to show me that I need to be okay for me to love you first. Then I'll give you some love. I want you to love all my doubt and suspicion. I distrust of you. I want you to love me in spite of all the negative perceptions I have of you from the very beginning. And if you can do that, then I'll give you my love. If you can love me through the most horrible personalities that I'm capable of, I'll give you the reward of my love. Mm-hmm.
You know what's on our practical side? That's like if you watch children.
Mm-hmm.
When children give something, whether it's a leaf or a dandelion or whatever, they're so excited with what they've found, and they want to give it to you just because it's a sign of happiness together.
Right.
So it just seems to me that as we age, we lose that innocent wish to share.
Yeah, the Course in Miracles calls it out. We replace it with bargains made with guilt. That's what we traded it in for. You know, it's like, I'll give it to you if you give it to me. I'll do this for you if you do this for me. And if you don't do this that way, then I'm not going to do this that way. And if you do it in a way that I don't want you to do it, I'm going to make you feel guilty. So it's not only a bargain, but it's a bargain made with guilt to low down dog for not keeping your word. So now I don't give anymore. I don't give anything. It's just a bargain. I'm going to give you something if you give me something, and I'll stop giving it to you if you don't do right. That's just the course of the bargain to make with guilt that we say pass for love.
Would you agree that there are people who are givers and people who are takers? And
yeah, it's one and me. It's two of them. Okay, one's the Earl that gives, and it's the Earl that takes. And Earl is trying to get more in touch with the Earl that gives than the Earl that gets. But the people you're talking about, they're inside me. Anybody else?
Yeah.
We're all like, the Course is, we're split. There are two of us, and we don't really know our evil twin, because our evil twin, we keep it like opposite to us. See? And so what the Course does, it makes you look around and say, hey, guess what? There's another side to your mind that you don't know about. What's that? What side is that? It's the side that wants to kick everybody's butt. It's the side of your mind that's really, really angry. It's the side of your mind that thinks it hasn't been treated right. That part of your mind is also creating thoughts and also creating situations and circumstances in your life. But you're not identifying with that shadow side because you're very busy identifying with the real nice one that only wants to help everybody and wouldn't hurt a flea. So you're ignoring there's a whole other side of your mind that you're not shedding some light on. And that part of your mind needs some love, and that part of your mind needs some truth so it can turn cool. That's the other part of your mind. And then your whole mind is cool, then your whole life will be cool.
That's cool.
You hear me? You hear me? That's right. I mean, I love it when you applaud because you're like appreciating the idea. It's not like you're trying to feed my ego. I know that. So don't, that would be afraid to show that joy for the truth. Okay. Okay, here we go. God, I thought it was later than 1:35, didn't you? 25 more minutes of this torture. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you're really torturing
yourself. Yeah, this is an S&M class. Yeah. Saving and miracles. S&M.
Yeah.
That's right. I got my little core script. Tap you on your little ego butt. Okay. Now. He says there's a way they respond to this stuff that's going on in a way that reinforces it, and it's not always obvious. It's in fact can be hidden behind what? A wish to help. He says, but we need to realize that you can always tell what's going to be given you by what you have chosen for yourself. And what you've chosen for yourself is your judgment upon yourself. So whatever you've chosen for yourself, that's how you can tell your own judgment on yourself. That's deep. I'll say it again. You only can give to yourself, and you're going to see that by the kind of help that you give to others. Because whatever you're giving to others, that's clearly your gift to yourself. But you're only going to be giving to others what you've chosen for yourself. So what you give to others is really just your judgment on your own self. In other words, how I treat myself is letting me know how I've judged myself. How you treat yourself is letting you know how you have judged yourself. Because you judge yourself that you only deserve to experience what you are experiencing right now. So what you are experiencing right now is your judgment on yourself. Your life is your judgment on yourself.
Woo! Woo!
Woo! My God, anybody else gonna feel that in their body beside me?
Yeah. I hate that part.
Say it again, Judah.
I hate that part.
Thank you. I like to say hate sometimes. Hate. That's all I was talking about. Never say hate. And you never say you hate nobody. I hate it.
And if you hate it, you hate it.
Well, if you didn't...
And you'd be lying to yourself if you didn't say it.
Exactly. So if I don't lie to myself about hating it, then I don't need nothing that's happened to me to show me I hate it. God, I learned the lesson that the experience would have brought me without the experience, if you don't mind. God, I'm one of these little kids that is like, you can just go ahead, I'll just do it. It was like, I was like the original good little kid. You know, it was like I just obeyed my elders. And it was amazing. The effect, all of them trusted me. And then I could do whatever the heck I wanted to do. And I always did it responsibly so that they could really know they could trust me. So I ended up doing what I wanted to do, and they were happy too. Because I took the trust that they were giving me to have fun, more fun than they would have allowed me to have by being responsible where I was. So they were really great.
You're still doing it.
I always try to... always try to relate to people on the level that will allow them to feel the most safety with me. And a person feeling safe with me is more important to me than what we do together.
That's cool. That's one reason.
That's really the way I live. I'm trying to find a level where we can be together and you're not afraid of me and I'm not afraid of you and we feel totally safe with each other, because I have learned that once a person feels 100% safe and they are safe, then they'll reveal themselves to you and you'll see something that's so much fun and so exciting it'll blow both of you all's mind. But it's always right on the other side of safety.
Cool.
Because you know you, You know who the friends you're around that you're the most uninhibited? They're always the ones that you feel the least judged by and that you feel the safest and most accepted for yourself. You got friends who see a side of you that other friends don't even know exist and would be freaked out of their mind if they even thought existed.
Yeah.
You know, all of us know we got a different personality for everybody we with.
Yeah,
there's as many different Earls as it is Earl's friends. And each one of them get a totally different Earl. But what all those Earls have in common is that those Earls want peace in every situation they're in. So it's not deceptive, it's just you really relating to a person in a way that's best for the two of you to relate so that y'all can have that safety and that peace. And then God can come through y'all's relationship and correct everything in your perception.
Woohoo!
That's the way it works.
Cool.
And that's what the Course is teaching us how to do. Ah! Okay, anything about paragraph 2 before I go to the next one? The one we just talked about you just give to yourself. How y'all like that idea, you give it to yourself?
And is that giving and receiving
of
the same?
Giving and receiving, as a matter of fact, we need to learn how to be better receivers, because the Course says, you know, what good is it if you have a creator that wants to give you everything and all you got is a cup? See, once you have everything, you're going to leave everything the way it is because you know you don't have closet space. You just say, well, I just leave that mountain over there. I just know where the mountain already is, but it's my mountain. So you need to claim all of this is yours. You need to claim all of this is yours. You don't ask for too much, you ask for far too little. Every time you ask for a little bit, you're asking for what you already have, so nothing happens. You need to say, I want it all. And then the Course says, well, you think if you ask for all of it, then it means somebody else will be left out. There is nobody else. It's just you. Divided up into a whole lot of people sitting in the room looking at each other like they're different because we're trying to pretend like, you know, we're not by ourselves. You and me and I and you, and we are one. And the way that I get to the oneness that we are is for me to stop attacking you for seeming to be different from me so that I won't create separation and depression and disaster. And since I want to have a really peaceful, loving, fun person around me, then I'm going to give you a really loving, peaceful, fun person, because that way I'm giving myself what I really want. And if I give you a good time as best I can, then my judgment on myself is that I deserve a good time myself. And I know I'm going to have one because I gave it to you. And that's the way the law works. So I can always tell what I want by what I'm giving everybody around me. I can tell how I really feel about myself as opposed to how I think I feel about myself. Because I can tell myself anything, but my actions demonstrate what I really believe.
Cool.
Amen.
That's good.
Okay, you with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, just try out some of the ideas I'm saying, you know. Just see if they
work. Try it tomorrow at work.
Yeah, we can start right now.
No, I don't want to do that.
Different beliefs. You know, I remember the time I played in a band and we were out in the woods playing, and I was like in high school and I was the only black guy in the band. Was in the South. So we didn't know who we was playing for. So we started playing, and all of a sudden we realized we were playing for the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, I played saxophone. Man, I played the hell out of the saxophone. I never played saxophone that good in my life.
<That's my song.
laughs> And they liked me. Everything was cool. So, I must be lovable as the Grand Kleagle of the Ku Klux Klan. See, that's a pretty extreme teaching situation.
Yeah.
I could have gotten that lesson without being there with the Ku Klux Klan. And that's what you got to realize. Whatever you're going through pain in order to learn the lesson, I'm here today to remind you, you could get the lesson without the pain. You could get the lesson without the pain. You could get the lesson without the upset. You could get the lesson without the worry. How do you do that? By not attacking other people's illusions. which is the same as saying, let other people think differently from you. Make it okay for other people to think differently from you, and learn how to be okay with people disagreeing with you. If you would do that, you will have less and less depression, pain, fear, and disaster come to you. You're giving more peace, so all of a sudden that means you're going to start having more in your life, because what you give to somebody else is what your gift is, your gift being given to you. And then you'll slowly watch your life transform. What does that mean? It means that those insurmountable obstacles and problems that you think you're having today will seem to clear up as if by magic to you as you heal your mind. And how do I heal my mind? By making a decision today that I'm going to walk around the world and I'm going to make it okay for you not to think like me and for me not to think like you. And I'm also going to claim the power of my thought. And the Course says, well, what do you mean claim the power of your thought? Well, this is where you claim your thought power. Okay, and so how? He says, well, you think what you want to think. And I went, what? Yeah. I don't care what anybody else around you thinks. If you want to know the power of your thought, I want you to think what you want to think. Not what your mama wants you to think, not what your daddy wants you to think, not what your friends want you to think, not what your mate wants you to think, not what your children want you to think, not what society wants you to think. If you want to know the power of your thought, if you want to know your thought power, the way you know your thought power is you start to practice uncensored thinking with yourself. An example of that would be for you to really, it's like for me. Okay, like for instance, regardless of what anybody else around me thinks, I think I create everything that happens to me. I think that I'm totally innocent under some feelings and thoughts of guilt. I think I'm a spiritual being inhabiting a physical body. I think that there's a part of me that's eternal and lasts forever. I think there's a part of me that doesn't know that. I think it's really cool for me to dance. I think it's really cool for me to do whatever I want to do as long as I'm not hurting anybody else. You know, in other words, I think whatever I want to think. I don't have a policeman in my mind. I don't have somebody saying to me, well, you can't think that. Because then I'm denying the power of my thought. And the power of my thought comes from my freely thinking. The problem is we need to get other people's agreement and we feel compelled to physically speak. And to be compelled to physically speak is nothing but a trick to keep your thoughts from manifesting. Because while you're debating with the person that's trying to prove to you that your thought is wrong, you could be freely thinking the thought that would create what you wanted without any opposition at all, because nobody else knew about it.
What do you talk to people
then
about?
That's a great question. What you talk to people about is what you want to have for yourself. Every conversation that you have should be about how to better bring what you value into your life for the benefit of you and the person that you're talking to. That's what you talk about. I talk about no matter what you feel right now, the truth is that you're still innocent and you're still a wonderful being and there's a way out of this and there's another way to look at it and you're only really seeing the past and don't worry, you're just giving it all the meaning that it has for itself. And yes, you know, that's going to be healed. It's already been healed. Look, I know you made a mistake, but a mistake is not a sin. Look, there's a universal power that's still in charge regardless of whatever it looks like you've done. So be gentle with yourself about going through this. Sounds like to me I got a lot to talk about to you. That sounds like to me, you know, and you can't tell me that level of communication wouldn't generate a deeper level of communication between us, because you feel so safe with me that you start to share even deeper levels of yourself and I get to know you even better. That's why if you try this stuff at work, it'll trip you out. It'll trip you out because your mind, because your ego is always trying to convince you every way that everything the Course in Miracles said couldn't be true and couldn't happen. Because your ego is the part of you that likes to attack. And so it's just looking for justification to keep the attack going. And that's okay. That's why you can't be mad at that part of you. It was hard to do that. Okay? The part of us that we made up to make us miserable, we shouldn't get mad at for doing what we hired it to do. It's like we hired a hitman to kill us and we changed our mind but we lost their phone number. I I know I used to want to do me in. I love me now. You don't have to keep that part of me that does me in. Please take a break. I changed my mind. You know, you don't feel like that? Yeah. Like you haven't been able to get the message across to the other part of you that you changed your mind about the way you want to treat you?
Yeah.
So we in each other's life to remind us that we make that decision to love each other more and to love ourselves more. That's our purpose in our lives. That's what makes us each other's saviors, is that you won't let me continue to think that yang-yang stuff about myself that doesn't bring me any kind of peace. You're my savior because you really see my peace as being a part of your peace, so you want me to be peaceful so you can be peaceful too. So you wouldn't think of being in a relationship with somebody you wouldn't want to have peace because you're with them, which means whatever they think, you're going to experience it with them. That's what it means when you say, I want to be in a relationship with you. You're saying, whatever you think, I want to be there to experience it with you.
Oh, that's
and if you were to look at it that way, you think a lot harder about who you joined up in a relationship with. All of a sudden, you would go right past their body to their mind. You go, all right, I'm going to experience whatever you think with you. And if you think about it, how else could it be? If I'm in a relationship with you, I've got to be, you know, if you're not paying your bills and I'm living with you, I would be affected by that, you know? So there's no way I could be in a relationship with you and not somehow experience with you the result of your thinking.
Absolutely.
So that's why I want to be a reminder to you that you really deserve to have peace and you really deserve to be happy. And I'm not going to make you get depressed by trying to change me, because I'm going to be so loving that there won't be nothing about me you want to change. The only thing about that you want to do with me is just appreciate me more. Because I'm not going to limit you, and I'm going to support you in being who you are and what you want. So I'd be going something like that. What would you like? And how could I support you in what you want to do today? What would make you happy? How could I not stand in your way? And so how in the world would you not want to be with a person that was treating you that way unless you were crazy? Think about it. You have to be totally insane to attack a person that's only supporting you in being who you want to be peacefully. But it happens every day. Because if someone gives you more than you think you deserve, before you're ready to receive it, you'll think they're trying to hurt you or deceive you or manipulate you. That's why most of the stuff that comes to us either comes to us on the level that we're on, or it looks like a little bit less than what we've been given. Because if it was more, then we'd be suspicious of it. And we'll attack the person that's trying to give it to us. Isn't it deep? But all the love that you're not receiving right now because you're not ready for it, since it is eternal, it's always there waiting for you when you're ready to receive it, so you cannot lose any of your good.
Okay, so you should be patient because you know that you're going to...
Okay, great. I love questions and statements. Patience. Know what the Course in Miracles definition of patience is? It says that patience is having abundant willingness.
Ooh.
Yeah, when you say you're patient, it just means you have an abundant willingness to keep doing whatever it is. Right? And then it says the other definition of patience is when you're certain of the outcome. If I'm standing on the bus stop and you say you're going to pick me up at 5 o'clock and I know you're going to pick me up at 5 o'clock, then I'm patiently wait there on the bus stop because I'm certain that I'm going to be picked up at 5 o'clock. I'm certain of the outcome. So the more certain you are of the outcome, the more patient you'll be. And if you have an abundant willingness, that is patience also. I have an abundant willingness to love you, translates, and I'm very patient in my love with you. Because my willingness to love you just keeps it just over and 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 over. Yeah, I met it to a person just last night that we loved each other so much that that's just a done deal. So it didn't even matter anymore what our egos did. Like if we had flare-ups, we called it flare-ups in our relationships, like hemorrhoids. And sometimes you're going to have flare-ups. And once you get that you're going to have flare-ups, but you've decided and you know you love each other for real, then you have the flare-ups, but you don't let it come between you. That way you get a chance to get the stuff off that you need to get off without repression, without the fear of losing the person that you love. And it's only at that point that you can safely get your stuff off so it can be gone once and for all. So this is more important to focus on the fact that we both want to stay joined in this relationship. That will allow us to be forgiving when the flare-ups come up. But if I say I'm going to love you if you never flare up, then I've just set it up that I'll never experience love and I'll never feel secure. I got to know I can flare up and we still going to make it. We're going to be reconnected because our love is stronger than our flare-ups. And neither one of us has the goal to flare up. It's not like we both two crazy people trying to want to fight all the time. You and I both no longer have the goal to hurt ourselves. We're really ready to have peace in our life right now. So there's going to be occasional flare-ups as we try to go to this goal. But our desire to reach this goal is so strong that we're going to let our desire to be joined pull us past any obstacle that may come up in the course. That's how you go past obstacles. Through the attraction of what lies beyond the obstacle, you get pulled through the obstacle. By the attraction of what lies beyond the block, you get pulled through the block. By the attraction of what lies beyond the problem, you get pulled through the problem. So the answer has to be more attractive to you than the problem. And we're the other way around. All we want to do is talk about the problem, and then we get disinterested when the answer comes around. So instead of focusing on the problem, what we should be focusing on more than anything else the rest of the week is our willingness to have the answer. All right. So can we acknowledge ourselves for hearing this much together? Come on. Who are we going to do it for us?
Yes.
Yes. That's cool. It's normal in a course class to feel a little weary. It's normal to feel a little disoriented. It's very, if you feel any of those things, a little sleepy, a little drunk, a little out here. I know I've been brainwashed. He's been to break out the Kool-Aid, I can tell. Something's going on around here. I mean, you know, no. I break out something a lot more interesting than Kool-Aid, I tell you. Okay. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for sharing with me financially. I appreciate that. I have to, you know, money. What did you say that word?
Money.
The Course says that money is nothing. That's an interesting idea, isn't it? Money is nothing. Money is nothing. Money is nothing. Money is nothing. It's paper strips, metal disc, and plastic. In digits. Money is nothing. Money is nothing. So I need to what? Not attack the idea of money? Not judge the idea of money? Because it says our first responsibility is what?
Not to attack
it. It's not to attack it. God, my first responsibility is not to attack it. So, divine love through us blesses and multiplies all that we give, all that we receive, and all that we have. So be it. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with me, Holy Spirit. I'm available for one-on-one sessions, and the sheets that I left on your seat, on your seat, on your sheet.
Sheets on the
seat. If you want to take it, anyway, I can help you out. Anyway, I can save you some time. That's the purpose of my sessions. It's to save you time. So if you want to save some time, have a session.
What's the difference between a clarity session and a soul purpose?
The soul purpose reading is answers the question, why was I born? What is my purpose? What are my talents? What are my lessons? What is it that I came here to master in this life? And the clarity session is like the one that answers the question, what the hell is going on? You know, my life right now, I need some clarity. There's some stuff up. What's going on? I need another way to look at this. What's happening now? I need to take a look. That's the clarity session. Because we're not nearly as complex as we are taught to believe we are. And there's no such thing as an original problem. So you could come and get the benefit of did everybody get a chance to share? I wouldn't want to deprive anybody. Learn how to receive is a biggie. That's always the hardest part of the class for me, is the love offering period. It really is. Learn how to receive is a big lesson. So Wednesday 12 noon and Thursday 7 o'clock. All right, so we got a couple of minutes. We'll do a quick review. Thank you. you look around the
room,
just take a look around the room. Look behind you. Look around. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, have you noticed that this class has a very large proportion of like 100% number of cute people? I just pride myself to attract cute people to my classes. Y'all notice that? Y'all know everywhere you look in the room, somebody cute. Look at them. They may not be able to handle you looking at them and thinking that they're cute, but they don't even realize that the only reason why they're sitting in a room full of people that's looking at them and telling them that they're cute is because they have given that you have those kind of thoughts about yourself in your mind and you don't even know it. And those thoughts have been waiting for a long time for you to notice them. And so now you are seeing the results of your own thoughts of love sitting around you in the room to remind you that you have thoughts about yourself that are so cool that you don't even realize. So your challenge as you go out this week is going to be to see how many times can you not correct somebody. I'll say it again. Your challenge this week will be for you to see how many times you can catch yourself before you try to fix somebody. Okay, now here's the other way you make this real. And you will make every attempt to only help people in the way that you would like to receive it, so that you can guarantee it for yourself. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
One of our primary thoughts is this week we're going to say, I'm going to make it okay for people to think differently from me. All week long, I'm going to make it okay for someone to think differently from me. This week is the week that I let everybody think differently from me. This is the week that I think freely for myself so I can begin to know the power of my own thoughts so it can manifest quickly. Because I like for my thoughts to manifest quickly. And if I don't give my thoughts any opposition by not sharing my thoughts with someone who would not support them, it will let my thoughts manifest faster. If I no longer share my thoughts with those who disagree with me.
Good idea.
So let's just take a little breath. Can you bring it in for a landing? We will not depress ourselves this week. We will not, and if we do depress ourselves, we are going to be gentle with ourselves about our depression. So here is what you say if you have depression. Depression is a request for peace. Depression is a request for peace. I feel depressed, I am requesting peace. I feel depressed, I am requesting peace. My depression is a request for peace. My depression is a request for peace. This deep feeling of depression that I have is a very deep, 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 deep desire for peace. Depression is nothing but another feeling of a deep, 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 deep desire to be happy. Depression is a reflection of a deep, 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 deep desire to be healed. Depression is a request for healing. See, depression as a request for healing, and the depression will begin to go away. See, the depression as a request for help. a deep, heartfelt request for help, and it will begin to dispel the depression. You have to see depression correctly. And seeing depression correctly is seeing depression as a call for the very opposite feeling. So depression is a call for fulfillment. Depression is a call for fulfillment. If you're feeling depressed, you are calling for fulfillment now. If you're depressed, you are calling for fulfillment right now. I feel depressed. I'm calling for fulfillment right now. I feel depressed. I'm calling for fulfillment right now. I feel depressed. I'm calling for fulfillment right now. I feel depressed. I'm calling for fulfillment right now. I feel depressed. I'm calling for fulfillment right now. I feel depressed. I'm calling for fulfillment right now. When do spiritual cats want it? Meow. And wait until the jet reaches a complete halt. You're getting ready to go out in the lab. Right?
Right.
If you want to just.
And so let's send peace ahead this week for everybody in this room. Everybody in this room, we're sending peace for each other. We're going to surround you in a bubble of peace. And what's the number one rule we're going to try to do this week? Anybody know?
Don't correct someone else.
As much as you can. What else? Don't attack. What was the other big one about other folks thinking? What about other people's thinking? Let them think differently, right? Can you do it, gang? Is it possible? You think we can give it a shot?
Yeah.
You know, now, could you forgive yourself if you don't pull it off all the time? Because, you know, you're just learning and you're trying. So if you don't pull it off, you're still cute. Right? Nothing's changed. And if you're really having a lot of problem in relationships, you just might need to shut up. And just look cute. And that might work for you. Okay? So I love you. And I'll see you the next time. Thank you. Yeah. And you know, copies of classes are available for purchase.